From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Don't forget the show's podcast. You can listen if you miss part of it or just want to shift it to a different time. Do that by going to PrattOnTexas.com. Our Lone Star story of the day, did Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick make sure the Chapter 313 tax abatement renewal bill died in hopes of pushing the governor into calling a special session? We'll review last night's Senate deadline to pass bills and have much other news from the legislature. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. Fabulous people. AlliedCompliance.com. More George P. Bush incompetence and prevarication at the General Land Office. Appeals court rejects special persecutors. That's right, they're persecutors, not prosecutors, in the Ken Paxton case and says Ken Paxton can have his trial in his home county. We've got a lot of other news. We'll get to it as time allows, my friends. As always, it is a great day to be a Texan. Today in 1957, Buddy Holly's band, the Crickets, released their first single. That'll be the day on Brunswick Records. Also, in 1997, Central Texas was hit by multiple tornadoes that resulted in the death of 29 people. And in 1961, on this date, May 27th, John Tower of Wichita Falls was elected the first Republican senator since Reconstruction in 1870. That's right. He was born in Houston, served in the Pacific Theater in WW2. After the war, worked as a radio announcer and taught at Midwestern University, now in Midwestern State in Wichita Falls. He switched from the Dems to the Republican Party in the early 1950s and worked on the 56th presidential campaign of Eisenhower. And by 60, he was well known and was nominated at the state GOP convention to run against LBJ for senator. Johnson easily won that election, but resigned his seat when he was also elected vice president. Tower led the ensuing special election and won the runoff. Tower was reelected three times in 66, 72, and 78, all of which were good years for Republicans. In 66, Tower defeated Democrat Attorney General Wagner Carr of Lubbock. In 72, Tower defeated Harold Barefoot Sanders Jr., a Dallas lawyer who had served in the Texas House and is a U.S. attorney under Kennedy and all kinds of other things under Johnson and was a U.S. district judge in Dallas. In 78, Tower ran in a close campaign. He edged out Democrat Congressman Robert Krueger of New Braunfels. This was the campaign in which Tower refused to shake Krueger's hand at a candidate for him on grounds that his opponent had spread untruths about Tower's personal life. It was nasty. In his 24 years in the Senate, Tower influenced all kinds of policy, especially defense and banking policy. After he resigned from the Senate in 85, President Reagan appointed him chief U.S. negotiator at the Strategic Arms Reduction Talks, the SALT Talks, in Geneva. In 86, Reagan appointed him to chair the Tower Commission to investigate the Iran-Contra affair. In 89, Tower was President Bush's choice to become Secretary of Defense, but the Senate would not confirm him because of his conservative political views, but really it was just grudges all around. Grudges, grudges, grudges. John died along with his daughter Marion in a commuter plane crash in Georgia in 1991. He's the first U.S. senator I ever met as a child and met him many times and was in Washington during those Reagan years once when he was leading the deal in the Senate, one of the big, big bills. We were in the gallery, and I remember Senator Tower would come in, take somebody out, and they'd come back, and they'd be kind of ashen-faced and come back, and you learned. And if you got into politics, you learned. I mean, this guy was one of the most effective arm twisters there was, and that's why there was so much revenge on him, where they would not confirm his nomination to be Secretary of Defense. He was just good at what he did. He played to win. This was the day he was first elected all those years ago in a special election. Well, my friends, the case of Planned Parenthood versus the City of Lubbock has its first hearing on Friday, tomorrow, the 28th, in the Northern District Court, Lubbock Division. It's simply a hearing on the jurisdiction. The city's arguing it shouldn't be in federal court, and that's where the folks engaged in the extermination of babies in the womb have wanted to sue, and that hearing's at 9 a.m. in the federal courthouse in Lubbock. Just a quick note, we want to mourn the passing of a really fine Texan and Lubbock native, Major General William Edgar Murphy. died. He was 86 years old, and the funeral was today. And he retired as commanding general of the 49th Armored Division, Army National Guard of the state of Texas. And he had an incredible career, very active in his community and his church, Southcrest Baptist in Lubbock. He was a deacon. He'd been a trustee at Wayland Baptist University, and just a great man. And two of our dear friends in this show, longtime sponsors, part of that family, and we wish them well, send our condolences to them on the death of Major General William Edgar Murphy, a life well lived. Don't forget, this weekend is the Texas State Energy Star and Water Efficient Product Sales Tax Holidays, so you can save some sales tax and stuff. You just go to the Comptroller site, search that if you want to, and find out all the details. Let's get to the big night last night. Now, the Senate didn't quit at midnight like the House did. The House just wanted to kill stuff. They didn't care. Senate did what it usually does. I don't know if I didn't watch it, but in the past, sometimes they just suspend the rules or they just pretend the clock hasn't turned forward and they went till middle of the morning. But they did allow a key procedural deadline to pass without renewing the Texas Economic Development Act, which may kill a major corporate welfare program. It's the Chapter 313 agreement so many of these school districts have entered into. It allows district schools to offer property tax abatements to businesses in return for making local investment. It's going to expire at the end of next year anyway. There were bills to at least renew it for 2 years while they study it. I mean, you got the number one conservative think tank in the state, the number one leftist think tank in the state, all against this thing, and for good reason. The House earlier in the month approved HB 4242, which changed the program expiration date to 2024. But people are just against it. But a lot of the insiders love this stuff. And we'll see what happens. Can't have Senate rules prohibit further consideration of any more bills for the rest of the session, which ends on the 31st on Memorial Day, Monday, except all they can do is work out differences between versions of the same legislation that's been passed by both houses. In other words, the conference committee reports. So the incentive program will expire before the next legislative session. A lot of folks are saying that the lieutenant governor took this bill and a few others as legislative hostage, which is fine with me, to try to get the governor to put more push behind the governor to call a special session to handle these bills here in June. And we'll see if that is the way it works. That's very likely what was done. And, well, that's the way the game is played. And if you want to know how the rest of the world treats us, of course, you're all used to it. They live in an alternate universe where nothing we believe in is legitimate. Everything they believe in is legitimate. They have a right to do anything, burn down cities, do anything they want to advance even amorphous, ill-defined policy goals. In fact, they're allowed to do all engaging crime without prosecution for just because of their feelings, because they're hurting or somebody was offended. But of course, if you're a conservative in America, why? What do you mean? Even when you have power, you don't really have a right to govern. I like Gromer Jeffers Jr. in the Dallas Morning News, but I'll tell you, this headline says it all today. How much red meat is enough for the Texas Republican diet? And that's it. Republicans served up hearty portions of red meat to their grassroots activists. He lives in an alternate universe because most of the grassroots activists are extremely mad because we didn't get much done in the legislature. But see, that's the idea. Well, even when y'all are in control and you have a majority of the population, it's just a bunch of red meat. I mean, how much is enough for you all? Because, of course, what we believe in is naturally illegitimate to these people. Back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Keep that six shooter at your side. Pratt on Texas will be right back after this.
Are you concerned about the significant rise in the prescription drug use? It can affect your workplace. Allied Compliance Services offers policies and procedures to ensure a drug-free workplace. Improve company safety, boost employee morale, assure confidence in your clients. Allied Compliance Services is a preferred collection site for multiple laboratories, a perfect resource for pre-employment testing. We provide drug testing support to businesses from apples to zebras. We'll help you too. Find us at alliedcompliance.com.
Tom in Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Learn more about Dr. Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com.
And now a man who asks, if you're afraid of the law-abiding being armed, just what do you ask businesses to do about criminals? Think a sign effectively bans them too? It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. Really, Gromer Jeffers Jr. at the Democrat Morning Snooze? It's all been a huge buffet of red meat for Republican activists. No, it hasn't. Even the most basic bills, for the most part, even on the biggest subjects going into the session, the House and others didn't do the job on a lot of them, at least not yet. Aaron Anderson reminds us, in the Texas scorecard, election integrity priorities pending in final days of Texas legislature, the subhead says it all. One GOP priority election bill, one, has made it to the governor's desk. A handful of others are close to the finish line, while Senate Bill 7 remains a wild card. Of the 23 bills flagged as meeting the Republican Party of Texas election integrity policy goals, only one's made it to the governor. There's only a handful of others are close. Senate Bill 7, the top tier comprehensive election reform and a major priority of the party and grassroots conservatives, is the biggest wild card. That's the one, remember the original version in the Senate by Senator Brian Hughes, was passed by the Senate way back in April. They got to their business. Has dozens of reforms sought by election integrity advocates. But the House completely stripped the Senate's language and substituted the contents of their own bill, House Bill 6, a significantly different omnibus election bill, not all bad in and of itself. And they added multiple amendments before passing their version a month after getting the bill from the Senate. 10-member conference committee has just days to reconcile all these differences and get them through each chamber. So we'll see what happens and what version of it we'll get. Who knows? House Bill 574 by Representative Greg Bonin is the first and so far only priority election bill to finally pass both chambers. That creates two new election fraud offenses. I've already reported on this. For if you intentionally count invalid votes or fail to count valid votes, makes that a second-degree felony. So that one's gotten out. But all these others, remember that was the big thing going in, one of the big things. SB 155 by Senator Charles Perry of Lubbock adds the Attorney General to the list of officials who review non-citizen and non-resident excused from jury service to identify and remove them from voter rolls if they happen to be on them. The House passed an amended version of that on May 18th. The Senate has to approve it, and they haven't yet. Two RPT priority election bills did advance this week. Senate Bill 598 by Kohlhorst. It's a carryover from last session that's drawn big bipartisan support, requires all Texas voting systems to produce auditable paper trails. In other words, voter-verified paper trails by September 2026, initiates risk-limiting audits, offers state funds to help counties buy or upgrade equipment, and confirms that voting systems may not be capable of connecting to a network or permitting wireless communication. That passed the House on Wednesday with overwhelming support and should head to the governor soon. Senate Bill 1113 by Senator Paul Bettencourt authorizes the Secretary of State to withhold state funding from county election officials who fail to follow rules for canceling registrations of ineligible voters. That's one of the big bills that we wanted to get done after all this crap in Harris County. But the Senate hasn't concurred on all the changes. The House passed it Monday, but the Senate's got to concur, so that one's still in the air. HB 2283 by Representative Phil King of Weatherford, keep outside cash, the Zuckerbucks, from influencing elections. That advanced this week. That's a big priority bill, but we'll see. That Senate passed an amended version, so now it has to go back and the House has to concur. House Bill 3276 by Representative Tan Parker would secure voted ballots being tabulated at central counting stations with live stream video surveillance systems and has a funding mechanism for it if the counties can't afford to do it. I think that is on a Senate local uncontested calendar. I'm not sure. All other grassroots election integrity priority bills are dead unless they get included in the big omnibus version of Senate Bill 7, which is possible. May 28th, tomorrow, is the last day the House can act on Senate amendments. So it's a big deal. And I love when that, we ran out of time. Sorry, some of these big things were passed a month ago or more than a month ago in the Senate. They could have been worked on early because the governor made a lot of this stuff an emergency item, which allowed the legislature to go to work on it way before they can legally work on other bills. And they still wait till the last minute. That's a lack of leadership. Or it's leadership intent on killing bills. Now, there are some things that have passed that are interesting. This headline's interesting about just the way it's written. It's a good headline. Texas could give landowners more say in eminent domain negotiations under a bill that's sent to Governor Abbott's desk if he signs it. Aaron Douglas at the Texas Tribune writing that the ledge approved a bill early Thursday that will revise eminent domain negotiations. I guess that's today. Revise eminent domain negotiations between landowners and companies, such as railroads, pipeline, utility companies, that are seeking to condemn land, requiring that landowners be given the terms of the contract up front, as well as more information about the eminent domain process. After 6 years of heated negotiations between groups that represent landowners and the groups that represent the pipelines, utility, railroad, oil and gas companies, etc., the ledge passed a limited version of a bill that failed last session. The House approved the legislation May 13th. Senate approved the bill in the early hours this morning before they quit handling bills. Now goes the governor. Companies would be required under the bill to restore the surrounding area to as close to the original condition as possible and compensate the landowner for damages to the surrounding land if it isn't restored. And there's more to this bill. For example, initial version of the bill, which was sponsored by Democrat Joe Desotel of Beaumont, angered landowners who thought it favored companies. Farm Bureau publicly opposed it. However, after changes, the Farm Bureau folks say that after in negotiations, they came back with language that's much better, and they supported the bill. In the House, Tom Craddock, who seems to believe his whole purpose in life is simply to represent the oil companies and pipelines, he was the only member to vote against it. This thing failed last time, and again, it passed this time. We'll see what all the details are. Texas House passed a bill to help parents with special needs children and protect what are called learning pods. This from the Center Square. Two bills that would help parents with special needs children and those who are seeking alternate education options are one step closer to becoming law. The House passed SB 1716 and SB 1955, both of which had already been passed by the Senate. 1716 extends and expands the supplemental special education services program that was implemented during the shutdown last year. That was filed by Senator Larry Taylor. That's a different bill. Taylor's bill is the 1955. That protects learning pods from burdensome regulations by local governments. A lot of people have been doing this. People have been joined with groups of families to create learning pods and hired teachers or tutors to assist their children. Places like Austin have been trying to make it impossible. For example, here's a quote. Unfortunately, certain municipalities, including Austin, have attempted to regulate learning pods using provisions that apply to child care providers, residential zoning, and school health guidelines, according to Aaron Valdez at TPPF. Valdez submitted testimony in support of the bill. Right. It's like they do to everything. They're all for people and everything except when they're not. And they've been trying to frustrate people from gathering in homes, to do a little schoolwork. Abbott signed the bill prohibiting municipalities from banning natural gas use. This is the discrimination in fuel stuff. Berkeley, California, for example, has banned gas hookups for new construction to minimize carbon impact. They're doing this all over California and places, and Texas passed a bill that prohibits cities from banning any energy. In other words, they can't say, well, you can't have this or that, and that is a good thing. Another good thing, Senate waters down medical marijuana expansion. There's some people in that are all concerned about that, but that stuff's going to go forward, but it's not going to be anywhere nearly as much expansion of use of marijuana as the advocates had hoped for in the beginning of the session. We've got much more ahead here on the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Stand by.
Pratt on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. More from the legislature. Of course, last night, the Senate, or early this morning, met its deadline, so you can't hear any new bills. We're down to the very last few days. Apparently, there was a bill that must have already been passed. NBC DFW, I guess their reporters just think that the governor, like all through COVID and the media, just happy with having tyrants. Because I love this headline. Governor Abbott announces new criminal offense for manufacture distribution of fentanyl. From Fort Worth today, Governor Abbott announced a new criminal offense for the manufacture or distribution of fentanyl. Abbott made the announcement while discussing the trafficking of drugs, including fentanyl, across the border by Mexican drug cartels. The governor said the new offense includes a punishment beginning as a third-degree felony. Nowhere in here do they mention what bill was passed to do this. It's as if a governor can just come make the announcement. And, you know, I'm not sure these reporters aren't that stupid. I mean, we've seen it all through the COVID stuff. Well, a governor said. I'm sure there was a bill that passed and that the governor signed on that. Texas Senate advanced bill expanding Medicaid coverage to women after pregnancy. It expands it from 90 days to 6 months. It's for low-income women. It's a House Bill 133. And Senator Kohlhorst is right on this. She says, House Bill 133 adds 4 months to what we presently have of 2 months. Oh, so it's only 60 days now, postpartum coverage. The media has portrayed our version of this bill as cutting it from 12 to 6. That's because the original proposal was for a full year of Medicaid coverage after giving birth. But she's right. It's not cutting it from 12 to 6. We're adding 4 months, and we'll become one of the first states in the nation to extend it beyond the first few months. But of course, the media always has its narrative to try to make the Republicans look mean and heartless. House voted 121 to 24 to approve the bill in April. One senator voted to pass the revised measure after 3 a.m. this morning. It was the last bill considered in the chamber as part of the marathon session of the deadline there. And so there you go. There were some other Medicaid bills that are uncertain. The lawmakers got in a position of deciding which bills, is it just getting later and later, the deadline's there. What are we going to carry? What are we not? So even some of the big, powerful senators had to decide to withdraw certain bills and move others forward in the Senate. And I want to get back to this issue I began with in our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, where you get the best in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing. AlliedCompliance.com, our Lone Star story of the day. Did the lieutenant governor make sure that the Chapter 313 renewal and possibly a few other bills nobody in the press has bothered to point out yet today, did he make sure that those were part of a quiver of bills that essentially became legislative hostages? The lieutenant governor, opponent that we know of, big opponent for Abbott in the next primary, Don Huffines, former senator, whole bunch of well-known conservative state reps and others are all coming out in support of calling a June special to get these key bills on, whether it's election integrity bills, taxpayer-funded lobbying ban, and these things that the House just killed off. And was this the lieutenant governor putting certain bills in there that he knows the governor's people don't want to see gone as legislative hostage? Probably. The one thing to remember, that was my first thought, and then actually in press review today, I noticed a couple of the political groups using that same term, which I kind of thought was interesting because I didn't read anything about that. That just popped in my head when I was seeing what happened last night or early this morning. But remember this, the governor can call a special session, but he puts each item on the session call. So that's a very limited tool because you say, well, we want all these things covered. Well, he can say, no, but that's the only bill I care about. Call a special session for a day or two and that's it, you know, and just put that item on the call. So just be aware how it works. This really qualifies as a bum update, but I'm not going to do the full bum update. It was in K-Texas by Nick Bradshaw, KTXS out of Abilene. Headline, statewide ban on homeless encampments would impact homeless in Abilene. Well, good. If they're on public property, they don't have a right to be there. The Senate approved a bill to ban homeless encampments throughout Texas. This is the public camping bill is what it's been called. Bill was introduced by State Senator Don Buckingham. House Bill 1925 make camping in public places a Class C misdemeanor with a fine up to $500. And actually, they have to help you and tell you where you can go and all kinds of stuff. They don't just come in and write you the ticket. But they quoted a bum in here. It just says, said one homeless man, it's unfair, it's outrageous. See, it's not unfair and outrageous that this person lives at the expense of us and chooses to live that way on public property. I'm already homeless now. You want to make me a criminal? Look, we can all be homeless for a little bit. I mean, usually you go stay with friends or family or sleep on somebody's floor or whatever, and then you go to work. You know, we're not in a deep depression yet. A lot of people hiring everywhere. I stopped at a store yesterday evening. One of these women, she let us just say this about her. She hadn't missed any meals, so there's no reason to think she's starving on the streets. You know, first thing she does is start asking you for stuff. Of course, I just tell her, I didn't bother you, don't bother me. She wasn't any big need. She's just hanging out in the parking lot. I could have been rude. I could have said, well, how many meals have you missed? My gosh. Anyway, the bill wants law enforcement to direct homeless people, the bums, to local resources before or at the time they issue a citation. And Stan Lambert of Abilene voted for the bill. Most everybody voted for the bill. I just thought it was funny. They found a bum that said, this is unfair. It's outrageous. In K-Texas. Did nobody bother to say it's unfair and outrageous? You choose to live off of the largesse of the people around you who actually go to work every day and don't addict themselves to drugs and live that kind of lifestyle? I mean, come on, let's be frank about it. Let's shift to another big story today. And it's one, if you've been a longtime listener of Pratt on Texas, you probably, if you have memory, know more about the cases against Attorney General Paxton than almost anybody outside a small group of people. Now, the Dallas Morning News has always hated him. They've always run very skewed, biased coverage against Paxton. There has been good coverage. This thing was a setup from the beginning, a political setup filed by political opponents from the Dallas Republicans, the moderates that didn't want a North, Collin County conservative to win. He beat Dan Branch, former state rep, in a runoff, and it's just been nasty. And one thing you know, if you've been following this in detail, I mean in detail, some of the top investigative reporters who actually wrote the truth on this in the country have been on the show many times. One thing you know is that Ken Paxton's lawyers have tried to go to court and get in front of a judge and jury and get this settled for 6 years. It's been the special prosecutors, these rich lawyers that got appointed at the big payroll to go after him that haven't wanted this to be in court. And that's key to remember what's going on here because people tend to think, oh, big politician, he's being protected. No, he's being persecuted. This is a political prosecution from the beginning. You had famous lawyers and former Justice Department people and everybody else saying this was incredibly a novel case, a very strange and new application of the law against Paxton. You had the federal court throw out the exact same charges under federal law. The fact is, this is a political persecution, and they haven't wanted to settle this. Well, the appeals court has ruled against those two special prosecutors or persecutors, Brian Weiss and Kent Schaffer, and they're not going to take it. We want the whole appeals court to weigh in, not just the panel. We want the whole appeals court. Well, what they agreed to was, no, we're not going to move this to Houston. He can have the trial in his home county in Collin County. His lawyer said, we're gratified by the court's ruling and look forward to getting Mr. Paxton's case back on track. It's time the prosecutors allow Mr. Paxton to have his day in court. So just remember that when you hear and read things, it's been the people wanting to do more damage to him that have kept the case out of court, not Paxton. Back in a moment.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. For some reason, maybe because he's good looking or his name's Bush, people have just not wanted to. Many people have just chosen to put their hand over their eyes about the performance of P. Bush over his general land commissioner. He should have been beaten in the Republican primary if voters had been paying attention. It's been utter incompetence from the top to the bottom. I mean, from firing all the people that had experience doing the hurricane recovery stuff under the previous land commissioner so he could make room for all the out-of-work bushies that had to, you know, couldn't get a job in Washington, to the fact that he had his own internal department auditors had to leak an audit to the press about mismanagement of all this stuff at the Alamo because he had suppressed it until after the primaries. See, people don't even remember this. This guy, it's been an absolute disaster. Well, another big one hit this week, and of course he's in the media right now talking about how he's going to run against Paxton for attorney general. He's been out courting Trump. He wants to get the Trump endorsement. The big story today is he's reversed his decision. But there's just so many lies being told by him and his incompetent staff. The big story the last few days, this is a version from the Texan. Texas Land Commissioner Commission flood mitigation funding sparks bipartisan outcry in Harris County. Harris County lawmakers from both parties joined forces to protest Texas General Land Office system that excluded Houston and Harris County from receiving any of $1 billion fund for flood mitigation. Last week's GLO, that's Bush, P. Bush, announcement, drew immediate outcry from all five members of the Harris County Commissioner's Court, and on Tuesday, 22 state reps sent a letter to Commissioner George P. Bush expressing disappointment, urging him to work with the GLO to rectify the situation. The $1 billion in federal funds from HUD, Housing and Urban Development, are part of a more than $4 billion 2018 congressional appropriation to assist with recovery and flood mitigation following Hurricane Harvey. And the coalition letter to Bush suggests the GLO awards are not in compliance with the intent of the funds. Republican commissioners in Harris County, Tom Ramsey and Jack Cagle, expressed dissatisfaction with the exclusion of Harris County last week. Cagle released a statement saying the GLO decision mocks common sense, said he had made it clear to Bush that the GLO decisions created a gross injustice. Ramsey didn't pull any punches in describing his meetings with the General Land Office staff to discuss the scoring criteria. Quote, I brought my 45 years of doing engineering projects, of doing grant funding, of doing planning related to drainage and other activities. I can tell you categorically the GLO is incompetent and they do not know what they are doing. We've heard this even from the former commissioner, Jerry Patterson, folks, and everybody just wants to ignore it because, well, he's good looking and he's a Bush. P. Bush is incompetent. He may come from a good family. He doesn't have the skills. And, of course, the whole Alamo thing is objectionable on the face of it. Now, listen to this. Although the General Land Office has pointed to HUD, federal-approved criteria for determining awards, and this is what P. Bush was blaming it on for the last week, Oh, well, it's HUD. Even today in his capitulation, he's blaming it on the feds and unclear rules. It's not true. Spokesman for HUD told the Texan, Mike Burns, the scoring system was solely created by the state of Texas, meaning it was created by P. Bush's people. HUD has not prevented Texas from awarding the CDBG-MIT funds to Houston or Harris County. The GLO has full responsibility and jurisdiction over who gets the money and what that was allocated to the state for flood mitigation if HUD approves the action plan amendment, which has not been submitted or approved by the agency. In other words, they hadn't told them no, they hadn't prevented it. But see, this is the lie. P. Bush, he's done this kind of thing over and over. He's incompetent. And the people he's hired, a bunch of family, friends, political friends, are incompetent. The big story today, I'll take the version from out of state, from the center square. Bush reverses decision, Houston, Harris County to receive Hurricane Harvey relief money. According to a report by the Harris County Flood Control District, by every conceivable measure and every imaginable context, Harvey caused the most disastrous flooding in the nation's history. All 4.7 million people in Harris County were affected directly or indirectly during the flood and after the floodwaters receded. Harris County recorded the highest total rainfall over 4 days of 47.5 inches with floodwaters resulting in 36 deaths, more than half the total statewide deaths. Yet, the General Land Office granted Houston and Harris County zero flood mitigation funds from HUD that would help low to moderate income communities still struggling several years later. Says later, Bush blamed the Biden administration. Well, he's capitulated now. He says, the federal government's red tape requirements and complex regulations are a hallmark of Biden's administration. Actually, all those existed under Trump. I mean, the regulations he's talking about. This money was granted a long time ago, and all the study of it has been taking place in the past, not during the Biden administration. The GLO, listen to how wrong he was. So the Texan goes to HUD and gets a statement and says, wait a minute, they're in complete control. We didn't set any of this scoring. Bush said his staff, they tried to tell everybody, and P. Bush told these people, well, in Houston, your scores were just bad. I've read several detailed stories on this. I can't give you all the story, but y'all didn't score well enough to get any of the money, but some of the smaller areas around got a lot of money. And they're doing a score. What do you mean? We had the most damage. Right? How the hell did we not score? And he tried to blame this on the feds. And it's not the feds. As the feds pointed out, you created the scoring system. It's a creation of P. Bush's agency. And they're in full control of it. All they got to do is once they make a decision, submit it for approval from HUD. HUD never has had a submission, so HUD's never told them no. Well, this has blown up over the last 2 or 3 days, and it really matters now. P. Bush hasn't really been very concerned about his incompetence in the past issues, but now that he's out there talking about running for attorney general, he's concerned about it, and it's blown up big time. And the GLO is now directing, so they went from zero, folks, of this $1 billion. Listen to this. Zero of the $1 billion. Bush said, well, y'all didn't earn it. You can't do it. It's the rules. When it got a little political heat, now directing $750 million, $750 million out of the $1 billion to Harris County. Now, tell me if that means that Harris County wasn't eligible according to the federal rules. This is what you get with P. Bush, incompetence. When he first ran, a friend of mine was backing him. He knew him. He had an event and about 20 people in the room. First primary ran. I went to that event. I asked some questions. And the question or two I asked were absolute mainstream issues that had to do with Texas government, particularly the land commissioner's office. He didn't know anything. He tried to do that skirt over it all. It was clear he didn't have a clue. And I was just shaking at that moment. I said, what are y'all backing this guy for? He doesn't even, he's didn't even care enough to learn about the big issues before getting out there and making the rounds. Just riding on that name. And that's exactly how I took it, and that's exactly how it's proven out. P. Bush is not competent at this stuff. He may be a nice young man. He may have all kinds of nice things in his resume. But, you know, he's a guy that said the Alamo, the way it's presented, is divisive and stuff like that. He was agreeing with the leftists. All this has blown up on him, too. Somehow, I don't know. I think it's just the power of the Bush folks that still have levers of power in Texas. They've continued to keep this guy trying to at least smell decent enough that he can actually go out and get backers and raise money to run for attorney general. He's a disaster. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't think he's a crook or anything like that. I just think he's an example of somebody who had all the privileges in life, but really isn't that sharp. I've read him, I've listened to him, I've talked to him in person. I just don't think he's that sharp, and we sure as heck don't need him as Attorney General in Texas, no matter what happens to Paxton. So anyway, that's the latest. Oh, it's all the Fed's fault, and then the political heat gets hot, and over 36 hours, all of a sudden, instead of getting $0, Harris County and Houston get three-quarters of the $1 billion, which means he could have given it all along, and HUD pointed it out anyway. There you go. That's P. Bush for you. All right, my friends, long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.